Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. Thank you, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, for tuning in. I hope you guys had a blessed week. We have an exciting evening tonight here at Radio Free Redoubt. We've got a Christmas giveaway from a one-time pad decryption contest that was specifically designed for the next generation of Patriot. The kids up to 17 years old, that was the limit. And we had the entries coming in all week. So great job, kids. And I know it's kind of late on the East Coast, those of you that are tuned in to the live streaming here on Sunday evening. So there's some kids that's got to get to bed, so we got a treat for you. We are going to do the giveaway right here in segment one. We'll do just touch on a couple stories in segment two, which is where we will put the news and commentary. Very light, though, super light, because I want to do something Christmassy this week. You guys listening all week long leading up to Christmas. Next week, we will not have a show on Sunday evening. We'll probably just re-air this show and play some all day long. By the way, we're going to be playing Christmas music in the afternoon. And so you guys can tune in and listen to that. So old time radio shows, music, and re-airings from some of our Christmas specials. So you'll be able to do that live streaming, radiofreeredoubt.com. So what we're going to do is get into this giveaway that we are very excited about. Hopefully you guys are as well. Before I do, thank you guys for tuning in and supporting us over at KTW, the commercial radio station that we're on, actually the three radio stations, but through KTW, 630 AM or AM 630 on the dial in the greater Spokane and Coeur d'Alene areas, 96.5 FM and 1050 AM every morning, 9 to 9:30, and that's live streaming also if you're outside of the area. Still would like to hear some signal reports from some of you that are able to tune in on the AM and FM dial to let us know where you are and what the signal strength was when you were listening. All right, to the Christmas giveaway. We had the one-time pad contest this week, and last week, Codename Annie was in the studio, and she's here with us tonight. And braved the snowstorm. Got quite a bit of snow out there, don't we, Annie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got quite a bit.
What do you think of that? You've been able to play in it?
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So what do? You snowboard, you ski, you sled, you what? Build snow forts?
Most of the time, I just build snow forts and sled, just the basics.
Right on. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Good stuff. You build snow tunnels and all the good stuff when the snow's piled up?
Yeah, actually last year I built a pretty awesome snow fort.
Yeah? Good deal. All right, well, we're going to be giving away that BB gun. We had a bunch of kids decrypt that message that you read the numbers from last week. The deadline was 2000 hours Zulu time, or also known as UTC, Universal Time Clock, or Greenwich Mean Time. And we had a lot of proud parents and grandparents get directly, personally involved with the kids. And we've got the winners that we're going to be pulling tonight. Just so you know, the decrypted message, now that the deadline has passed, when they properly decrypted the numbers, it should read Christmas Miracle. Christmas Miracle. Now, we placed a YouTube video on Radio Free Redoubt, but didn't post it publicly. You could get to that posting and watch the video by typing in Christmas Miracle in the search box, which would take you to that, that posting listed there where you watch the video. And they were also instructed, once they get on that page, to type in that word they decrypted, Christmas Miracle, in the subject line, and get that emailed in with the scripture that appears in the video. And that's what it was. That's what we got. Luke 2:1-1, or Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Very, very fun. Lots of good stuff that we learned from that. It was kind of fun. The very first, within just minutes after the numbers were read, I just want to give some kudos out here. Whether you win or not, you deserve some recognition. Codename Tree Rat out of Oregon. Codename Tree Rat was the first one to get the correct decrypted message sent in, emailed, follow all the instructions precisely, and it was in my inbox within minutes. The other one, with just a few minutes right behind that, right on Tree Rat's heels, was Antimony 30. Both of those came right in right after the show. So great job to you guys. In the video is a picture of a nativity and a young, codename Bear Cubs, 11 years old, out of Virginia, said, thanks, I really enjoyed this year's contest. I also like the nativity pictures, but the wise men didn't come until Jesus was about 3 years old. I got corrected by an 11-year-old. But you're right, codename Bear Cubs. It wasn't quite 3 years, though. If you remember, in Matthew 2:16, Herod, the evil king, once he realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. He wanted every boy killed 2 years or younger, so it was probably about 18 months, giving himself a six-month buffer. About 18 months afterward was when the Magi fled and the king found out about it. So it could have been, they could have actually visited Christ up to a year to about 18 months estimated during that time frame. So yeah, he was about a year to a year and a half old, roughly. Definitely under 2 years old when the Magi went and visited him. So good job. Good job there, Bear Cubs, for calling me out on that. You're right. They weren't there right when he was born. Okay, let's talk about the prizes. And then we're going to draw the winners. Fourth prize, we've got a 1939, not 1938, like I said last week. I think I said 1938. It's a 1939 authentic Little Orphan Annie Secret Society members booklet and the decoder pin. I have it right here. This is a collector's item. It's the real deal. It's from 1939. This is what kids would order in the mail from Drinking Ovaltine and save up their lids and send in and become members of the Radio Orphan Annie's Secret Society. This was from 1939. We're going to be giving that collector item away. It is the real deal. We are going to be giving away a book, The Road Home. It's paperback. It's the story. It's an exciting story, nonstop action with dozens of practical emergency preparedness and high-tech ham radio tips that you will find helpful in many situations. From going on an uneventful road trip or day hike to getting lost in the woods, even to surviving a natural disaster. The education services manager from the ARRL, Deborah Johnson, I don't know if she wrote this or if she just got her quoted here saying, this fast-paced adventure will engage youth and adults in the realities of what can happen in an emergency and how amateur radio can be one of the many tools in the preparedness toolbox. So that's going to be the third prize. Second prize is the TechSun 2P3 AM radio receiver kit for do-it-yourself enthusiasts. You build your own AM radio with the help of an adult, of course, for most of you kids out there. Build a high-performance AM radio receiver, a higher sensitivity than 99% of the AM radios on the market, step-by-step guide included, great for learning and education. And then the grand prize, you all know it, from the Daisy Museum, a official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock, and this thing which tells time is going to be going out. Well, depending on what I hear from you, we're planning on shooting this out overnight, FedEx, Tuesday morning. So we're giving you until tomorrow evening to get back in touch with us. We will be sending an email out to the winners tonight. I want to thank everyone who helped make this possible by donating, the Amron and Amron Core operators who invested out of their own pockets the prizes that we're giving away for this, including the air rifle from the Daisy Museum. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank the patriots who have stepped forward to help invest in the next generation. So we're going to get to – are you about ready?
Yeah.
Okay, before we draw names, don't forget the Santa Net on the 23rd and the 24th of December from 1400 to 2000 Eastern Time, from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. On the 14.300 net, you can check in, get the young ones, kids, grandkids to get their hands on the radio. They can talk on the radio. They can talk to Santa or Mrs. Claus, whoever happens to be on at that time. Go to 14.300 on 20 meters, upper sideband, and ask them where the Santa net is if you can't find it. It'll be close to 14.3, a little bit above it. So, all right, let's do this, Annie. We've got all of the names, entries right here in this. You know what that is?
It looks like a helmet.
It is. That is an Iraqi army helmet taken out of a bunker outside of Kuwait City. So anyway, there's no blood or anything in it. So don't worry about that. Okay. We are getting ready to – let's go drum roll. This will be prize number 4. And this will be for the 1939 Radio Orphan Annie's Secret Society book and decoder pin collector item. You ready?
I think so. I got one.
All right. Go ahead and pull it.
Bravo November 03.
Well, let's see here. Oh, this is pineapple. Now, I'm glad I thought of this. We've got two Codename Pineapples. We asked the kids to pick out a really cool code name for themselves. And wouldn't you know it, we've got two of them that have chosen them, unrelated, calling themselves Pineapple. So this is the Pineapple. The other one is Seventh Pineapple, and this is just Pineapple. So Bravo November 03, your little partisan, Pineapple, codename Pineapple, just won the 1939 Little Orphan Annie Secret Society booklet that teaches you how to use the decoder pin and the decoder pin collector item. So let's see. We've got you down on the list. Pineapple, congratulations. Now, the next item on the list is the Road Home paperback. So you got a name?
Yep. I got Elsa.
Elsa. Codename Elsa. Right on. You are the winner of the book, the paperback, The Road Home, made for kids. It's an exciting adventure. And now we're getting ready for the second prize, the Texon 2P3 AM radio receiver kit that you build yourself or with the help of an adult. Got it?
We're all stuck together.
Pick a good one.
I'm not here.
What's this? Oh, Young S.G. York. Okay, Young Sergeant York. Young Sergeant York, you are the winner of, I think he's out of Virginia, too, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look. It's not on there. But Young Sergeant York, you're the winner of the AM radio receiver kit. Congratulations. And let me just type that in. And we've got Young Sergeant York down. And finally, the grand prize, the 200-shot range model air rifle from the Daisy Museum. You ready for this? Drum roll. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I got Girl Smiley.
Girl Smiley. This is going to a girl. I happen to know who the radio operator is, the Amaron Corps operator is, who is the father, the proud father of a proud owner of a Red Ryder BB gun, 200 shot. Wait, we got to do this right. We got to do this right. The proud owner of an official Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing which tells time is going to be on its way to Texas Tuesday morning, overnight, FedEx. So you'll have it by Christmas. Congratulations, Girl Smiley. All right, Fox 519 with the eye on the economy. When we come back, we've got a lot more Christmassy stuff for you, for the adults. Well, some of the kids, you might enjoy it too. If you don't have to go to bed, stick around. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Tick, tick, tick. Do you hear the ticking time bomb of state pensions? Well, this bomb is about to go off, and you don't want to be anywhere near it when it does. This week, I'll be bringing the news about state pensions and how they could seriously affect all of you in the coming few years. Stay tuned and listen in this week as I bring you the financial news and commentary that affects your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. You smell that? Yeah, that's coffee. Not just any coffee. That's Sister's Coffee Roasters coffee. The rich aroma of the custom roasted beans. You know what I'm talking about. There just isn't a morning that is right unless you have had a good cup of coffee to start your day. Why would you start it off with a bad cup of coffee? It's the thing that gets you out of bed and ready for a busy day of prepping. It's time for you to step up your coffee game and order your roasted or unroasted beans for your food storage from sisterscoffeeroasters.us. You want to get the best coffee in the readout? Again, sisterscoffeeroasters.us. That's two sisters, one great cup of coffee. sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Welcome back, and a continued thank you to our sponsor, Sisters Coffee Roasters. Guys, I told you last week that I got a chance to sit down and chat with them about some of their new exciting product offerings. Please, go out there and support them during this holiday season. They're a couple of really great gals. Okay, you want to know how big this bomb is that's about to go off? How about $34 trillion in unfunded state pensions? And it could be bigger than that pretty quick. This will be a massive derailment to our financial systems here in America. In an article published in March of 2016 by City Financial entitled "The Coming Pension Crisis," it details out the coming problem. And among them, they talk about how big this problem is actually going to be happening with the state and private pension funds. Let's talk about ratios for a second here. And here it is. The value of published debt is $44 trillion, and the amount of unfunded government and private pensions, $78 trillion. $34 trillion deficit. So, why the big gap? Well, first off, it's longevity. 100 years ago, a person could be born in a city that, when the city was, when they would die, it would be roughly around 51 years old. That was the average life expectancy, both in the U.S. and the U.K. in 1915. Now, when the Social Security started, a 65-year-old man could expect to live 12.7 more years after that point. And how long could Social Security go without supporting him? The same man today can expect to live 20 years more, about 50% longer than this system was intended to support. So retirement, an idea that barely existed for people over 100 years ago, not only is more expensive each year, but it's also lasting longer. And the problem is that those costs have to be covered. Now next, unfunded pension liabilities. Employers, whether government or private companies, have made a commitment that stretched decades into the future, but have largely failed to put aside enough funds aside to meet those commitments. Individuals in defined contribution plans have also failed to set aside enough in retirement savings to support a secure retirement. People are outliving their retirements. However, the elephant in the room is the large unfunded pension promises that governments and corporate clients have made to their citizens and their employees. Here are some fun numbers for you. In the United States, current unfunded corporate defined benefit commitments total approximately $425 billion. State and local government employees, defined as pension benefit, also have from $1 trillion to $3 trillion in unfunded commitments. And individuals, defined in contribution plans, are about $7 trillion short of the ability to live within a secure retirement. The largest liability in the U.S. Social Security pension system is where they are estimating their $10 trillion in unfunded liabilities. Next, it's on to the corporations. An individual company that offers and supports a pension plan for their employees is referred to as a corporate plan sponsor. Some of you may have read that in your retirement booklets at work. The support of pension plans by corporate plan sponsors is, of course, quite important to the beneficiaries of those pensions. However, that they also support put a tremendous amount of pressure on the corporation to fund said pension. The liabilities of a corporate pension plan are valued using discounted rates that move with interest rates in general. The current low interest rate environment has kept the value of those pension liabilities and the state value of underfunding it abnormally high. This has been exacerbated among the rising longevity rates and underestimated of length and time of which pensions have to be paid. Again, we're outliving the money that's actually there. Lastly is the problem of government-supported pension plans. When the government is an employer, the issues there are different, and they are challenging. In the U.S., most public pension plans do not use a variable interest rate to value their liabilities, so liabilities do not rise and fall with interest rates. Where corporations use a variable rate of around 4 to 4.5%, government plans rates are typically 7.5% consistent. So, thus, a government pension plan with $75 billion in stated assets and $100 billion in stated liabilities will report that as 75% funded. However, if you use the typical rate of a U.S. corporation plan, that funded ratio drops to 52%. Government plans are woefully underfunded because government plan sponsors, the legislators, have not made a budget contributions in pension plans that are sufficient to match the generosity of the pension plans, the promises that those officials have made to the employees. Folks, these are the main factors for the bomb. Now, how do they propose they fix it? Well, raise the retirement age again. And they'll keep talking about that again and again and again. Now, the scariest part of this report is they actually mentioned the CDC talking about early death rates and mass casualty events that would help to subsidize that gap. Folks, I've told you in the past few years, do not plan on retirement. It won't happen. The money isn't there. It's gone. It was already spent and spent years ago. We know by 2020, Social Security will be broke. But with the numbers lining up as they do, expect it to be a whole lot sooner. Folks, real money, as we saw it last week, holds value, and they're trying to rig it. Gold and silver. The crazy thing is, the monetary elites know it. Gold and silver are a biblical currency, and you need to be preparing with them right now. Silver's great. It's affordable. It's a good gift option. I'd love to get a silver dollar for Christmas, and as I said a couple weeks ago, don't slack on your preps. Now is the time to continue on. I also have another challenge for you. This week, I want you to focus on what this time of year means for all of us and the ultimate gift that was given to us all. It was the ultimate prepping gift that God could have given all of us, the gift of eternal life. And when we have left this world, we'll go home to be with him, and that only could have been started by the little one in the manger. Folks, from all of us here at the Fox 519 household, we wish you the most merry of Christmas, and we hope that Christ blesses you in the new year. And we thank you for your prayers as we keep moving forward with the employment situation. God bless the readout, and God bless all of you in this coming year. This is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Beautiful shot. This is segment two brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots get strategically relocated into the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho in the heart of the American Redoubt. Give them a call today. Patriot-owned business, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Welcome all of our right-wing mainstreamists. I want to thank you guys for your support, doing your Christmas shopping. Who, those of you who do your Christmas shopping online, to support, help support Radio Free Redoubt by first clicking on the Amazon link at Radio Free Redoubt or Amron.com, taking you through to do your shopping. Because when you do that, there's an affiliate. That is an affiliate link. So all your purchases and shopping and everything, a small percentage of that, a small portion of that, goes to us as an affiliate, as a fee to, for their way of saying thank you for sending business their way. And that helps us out. It's not much, but it all adds up. So I'm very much appreciated you guys doing that. Now, I want to get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary itself is brought to you by Glenn Tate in the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. And I just want to touch just on a couple of stories here, because there are a couple really important things I want to get to, Christmas related. This is our Christmas special, if you will. International news from Fox News. Despite the Iranian regime's best efforts to stop the spread of Christianity, a large underground church movement is growing. Hundreds of Islamic Iranian citizens who were Islamic converted to Christianity. Many are being baptized in large ceremonies in underground churches held in private homes across the country. This month, Christian ministry Elam, E-L-A-M, estimated more than 200 Iranian and Afghans were secretly baptized in a service just across the Iranian border. It's going to be a very special Christmas for them, but not in the way that you and I think of Christmas, where we have still some religious liberty to openly celebrate the birth of our King. So remember these guys in your prayers. There's no Christmas, it's just Christ, but no Christmas for them. And it's that way for people, many people across the country. I'm going to talk about some of their stories in the next segment. In the next story, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro suspended on Saturday the elimination of the country's largest denomination bill, which had sparked cash shortages and nationwide unrest, saying the measures would be postponed until early January. The surprise, pulling off the 100 Bolivar note from circulation this week before new larger bills were available, led to vast lines at banks, looting at stores, and anti-government protests, and at least one death. Maduro, speaking from the presidential palace, blamed a sabotage camp. It's always someone else's fault, isn't it, when it comes to socialists? Blamed sabotage, a sabotage campaign by enemies abroad. Of course, you know, the United States, got to be. For the delayed arrival of three planes carrying the new 500, 2,000, and 20,000 Bolivar notes. The 100 Bolivar bill that they're pulled out of circulation this week and then put back in after the people went ballistic. The 100 Bolivar bill officially since Thursday is worth just 4 U.S. cents at the black market currency rate. So it can still be used until January 2nd. But you need a wheelbarrow load of them to buy a can of beans. 4 cents. That'd be like the American $100 bill being worth 4 cents. That's how much their currency has plummeted. I know it's a different exchange rate. It's not quite the same as a $100 bill dropping to 4 cents. But I meant to look that up. What was just 3 years ago, 5 years ago, what was 100 Bolivars worth? I'll look that up. In national news, while Obama's on his final multi-million dollar per day hopping and skipping through the Hawaiian Botanical Gardens trip, here's a story out of the IndependentSentinel.com. Obama is setting up a shadow government to undermine Trump from Inauguration Day on. Do you believe that? Do you think he would do something like that? Well, according to this article, Barack Obama is staying in D.C. to launch a 4-year attack on Donald Trump with the war chest he's currently building. At the same time, right-wing news will be squashed under the jackboot of the hard left. Ed Klein told Mike Hegseth of Fox News that Barack Obama is setting up a shadow government to undermine Trump from Inauguration Day, and we shouldn't be fooled by Obama claiming he's smoothing Trump's transition. I don't think any of us believe that for a second. For the past 100 years, every president who is outgoing has packed up his stuff, Klein said, gone home, and not criticized his successor. This is not what the Obamas are planning to do. They rented an 8-bedroom mansion in the section of Washington near John Lockhart, Bill Clinton's last press secretary. In that house, there's enough room for Valerie Jarrett, Michelle, and the kids, a place for 10 cars to park. They're setting up what they are calling a shadow government. Interesting. We're going to post this article here. Yeah, I don't trust these people. You're talking about communist revolutionaries. We're talking about a president who pleaded with illegal aliens to go and vote for the next president to bring in the next socialist communist president, Hillary Clinton, which failed. It's not over for these guys. They said the night of the election, they said, this is not over. We've got work to do. Now more than ever, it's time to roll our sleeves up. They've been quiet. That doesn't mean they went away. So stay on your toes. Stay alert, especially as we draw closer. The ilk like Michael Moore and, well, I've got a whole bunch of information here. Maybe I should cover that on January 1st, the first episode in 2017, to talk about what the communists have up their sleeves and how they're planning for violence and to disrupt, to obstruct, and to subvert this next administration. Okay, let's take a break. Come back. I've got some Christmas stories I want to share with you guys. Some things that are going to make you think a little bit. Right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
From all of the partisans at Radio Free Redoubt, thank you, listeners and Amron operators, for being out there. Have a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
And this is Juliet 5-9 and family from East Texas wishing everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Polly 01, located in the American Redoubt, wishing all the members of AMRON and AMRON Corps a very Merry Christmas.
This is Papa Romeo Whiskey in Central Illinois, wishing all of AMRON, AMRON Corps especially, a Merry Christmas and a blessed Lord's Day with your family and friends. Blessings on all you guys. You've been a blessing to me. Papa Romeo Whiskey, clear.
This is Delta Sierra 64 Southeast Texas. Wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And may our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ richly bless you and your family. Delta Sierra 64, clear.
This is Fox Tracker Beck and Mrs. Fox Tracker Beck 01 somewhere in Georgia Mobile today. Beautiful Sunday day. I just want to wish everybody a blessed Christmas and a Happy New Year. Remember, it's not a cliche what the season is all about. We got to stand firm, patriots and believers and followers of Jesus Christ. God bless.
This is Old Crow. From my nest in Georgia to yours, Merry Christmas to all and best wishes that the snow not weigh heavily upon your antennas.
Merry Christmas from Romeo Mike 08 in West Virginia. And to my brothers and sisters in Christ, may the blessing of his coming give you peace in your hearts this season. Romeo Mike 08, West Virginia.
This is Fox 3 from Central Oregon, wishing everybody a Merry Christmas.
Segment 3 is brought to you by Katie Armor. Come and take it. Body armor with the hard plates, front, back, and sides. They've also got the soft armor and everything you order from them. They're an American Redoubt-based company, by the way. Free shipping on everything. So check them out at katiearmor.com. Protect yourself and protect those you love. I've got an article here that I want to share with you guys. Talking about the Christmas season that we're in and how vastly different it is for us. We have a tendency to take it for granted. There's an article I want to share with you from Christianity.com and give them full credit here. This is by Dr. David Curry. He's from Open Doors USA. It's titled No Peace of Christmas for Persecuted Christians. For many in the West, if not most, Christmas will be spent in relative peace. Time together with family and friends, presents under the tree, and a hot dinner typified the day of celebration. Christmas is a national holiday in the United States, and most people will have a paid day off from work. You can sleep in if you'd like, assuming that the kids or grandkids don't run downstairs and tear into the presents at an unreasonably early hour. While there's been a move over the past generation to stigmatize the use of Merry Christmas as a greeting, with politically correct types preferring the more sanitized and nondescript Happy Holidays, still there is a general acceptance and understanding of what Christmas is. No one will beat you up for buying a Christmas tree or having decorations on your house this year. Jesus is the reason for the season, as the saying goes, and no one is going to threaten you for celebrating the birth of Jesus this Christmas. That's not true, however, for millions of Christians who live in countries where Christians are a persecuted religious minority. In North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Eritrea, Iran, Syria, and many other countries, Christians are not allowed to live out their faith the way you and I will this Christmas. For them, Christmas is equally meaningful, but much different. They honor and worship the Christ child in secret. Hannah is a Christian woman living in war-torn Damascus, Syria, with her husband and two young daughters. Life in Syria for Christians has been incredibly difficult. Christian churches have been attacked and destroyed. Some Christians have lost everything, including homes, businesses, and possessions. Some have even lost their life. Islamic extremists fighting in the Syrian civil war have systematically attacked areas that Christians have historically settled and called home. On some occasions, even cutting off the flow of food, water, and resources to try to starve out entire populations of Christian villages. In a recent journal, Hannah describes what life is like for Christians this year in Syria. She says, "It's snowing in Damascus now. It's rare that it snows. We don't have much to warm ourselves. There is a lack of oil and gas, and there are electricity blackouts that last for hours and hours. Yesterday, I was at home with my daughter, and we just wore all the clothes we could find. But we don't complain, because we think of all our fellow Syrians that are living in the streets now. It breaks my heart if I think of the children that fled with only their summer clothes on them. We would love to go there and help them, but traveling to the area they live in is far too dangerous. No, Christmas will not be a time of celebration for us this year. How can we celebrate when people around us are suffering? We will have some special prayers in church, but we don't have any decorations. Having Christmas decorations outside the church would provoke the terrorists to attack us. They already send the Christians a message. They have a special Christmas gift prepared for us. 3 bomb cars. Last week, I went to the market to get some hats, socks, and candy for the kids in our church. Normally, we would buy them some games, but toys are way too expensive now. At least they will have something to keep them warm. That's more important than toys in this situation. I want to give those gifts to the children and hope that they will know that Jesus still loves them, no matter what's going on around us." End quote. Also, in Iraq, Christians won't be able to celebrate Christmas in peace. Tariq, a pastor in Baghdad, states, "Churches are targets for terrorists, especially on Christmas Day. Many Christians stay home because they are too afraid. Due to security concerns, the freedom to celebrate Christmas is growing less and less. Celebrate Christmas this year with a profound sense of gratitude for all that you have, and pray, earnestly pray, for those Christians, such as Hannah and Tariq, in places such as Syria and Iraq, where Christmas is a dangerous holiday." We'll be back with segment 4, another story that is worth telling. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Well, now that the election results are official, I want to say thank you. Together, we challenged the status quo and sent a strong message to those who compromise on principle that wavering is not a strategy, it's wholesale surrender. And surrender will not restore freedom, liberty, and prosperity to our state. The path to freedom means fighting tooth and nail for lower taxes and less government, and being uncompromising on the rights to life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. It means defending the Constitution and building coalitions around issues of principle. Together, we will continue to push forward the freedom agenda and the values that made America and Washington great. Please visit us and like us on Facebook at Freedom Agenda Washington and watch for actions you can take to help us clear the path to freedom. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the community elect Matt Shea Republican.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light.
StrategicLandscapeDesign.com have stepped forward to sponsor us for this segment, segment four, the final segment here at Radio Free Redoubt. For planning your landscape with the forethought to integrate the primary needs of food production, water access, energy supply, and security features, which are critical to the long-term viability of your retreat or your homestead, check them out today at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Also, that they and our, all of our sponsors for each show are also listed in our highlights and resources posting for each show that you can click on right on through to their website. So check those guys out. Thank you guys for supporting all year long our sponsors who cover the hard costs of producing Radio Free Redoubt and keeping us going. And that's our email address in case you're listening on a CD or some other audio file. Somebody gave you this episode, which is episode 1647, the 47th podcast of 2016. Here in a couple of weeks, we'll be starting off with 1701, the very first of 2017. And it's going to be very interesting times coming up, and we're going to do all this together. So make sure you put RadioFreeRedoubt.com in your favorites. There's a story that I read years ago, and I've read a couple times since, and I've been meaning to share this with you guys for those of you who have not heard of this. It's from 1914, World War I. It's called the Christmas Truce, or the Christmas Miracle of World War I, or the Christmas Truce of 1914. The Christmas Truce of 1914 is one of the most extraordinary incidents, not only of World War I, but of all military history. Providing inspiration for songs, books, plays, and movies, it has endured as an archetypal image of peace. Starting in some places on Christmas Eve and in others on Christmas Day, the truce covered as much as two-thirds of the British-German front, with French and Belgians involved as well. Thousands of soldiers took part. In most places, it lasted at least through Boxing Day, December 26th, and in some, through mid-January. Perhaps most remarkably, It grew out of no single initiative, but sprang up in each place spontaneously and independently. Unofficial and spotty as the truce was, there have been those convinced it never happened, that the whole thing was made up. Others have believed it happened, but that the news was suppressed. Neither is true. Though little was publicly reported in Germany, the truce made headlines for weeks in British newspapers, with published letters and photos from soldiers at the front. In a single issue, the latest inflammatory rumor of German atrocities might share space with a photo of British and German soldiers crowded together, their caps and helmets exchanged, smiling for the camera. I'll continue on here with a posting from Time called Silent Night, the story of World War I Christmas Truce of 1914. On a crisp, clear morning 100 years ago, thousands of British, Belgian, and French soldiers put down their rifles, stepped out of their trenches, and spent Christmas mingling with their German enemies along the Western Front. In the 100 years since, the event that has been seen as a kind of miracle, a rare moment of peace just few months into the war, that would eventually claim over 15 million lives. Pope Benedict XV, who took office that September, had originally called for a Christmas truce, an idea that was officially rejected. Yet it seems the sheer misery of daily life in the cold, wet, dull trenches was enough to motivate troops to initiate the truce on their own. Which means that it's hard to pin down exactly what happened. A huge range of differing oral accounts, diary entries, and letters home from those who took part make it virtually impossible to speak of a typical Christmas truce as it took place across the Western Front. To this day, historians continue to disagree over the specifics. No one knows where it began or how it spread, or if, by some curious festive magic, it broke out simultaneously across the trenches. Nevertheless, some two-thirds of troops, about 100,000 people, are believed to have participated in the legendary truce. Most accounts suggest the truce began with carol singing from the trenches on Christmas Eve, a beautiful moonlit night, frost on the ground, white almost everywhere, as Private Albert Morin of the 2nd Queen's Regiment recalled in a document later rounded up by the New York Times. Graham Williams of the 5th London Rifle Brigade described it in even greater detail. First, the Germans would sing one of their carols, and then we would sing one of ours, until when we first started up, O Come All Ye Faithful, the Germans immediately joined in singing the same hymn, to the Latin words, Adeste Fidelis. And I thought, well, this is really a most extraordinary thing. Two nations both singing the same carol in the middle of a war. In the next morning, in some places, German soldiers emerged from their trenches, calling out Merry Christmas in English. Allied soldiers came out warily to greet them. In others, Germans held up signs reading, You no shoot, we no shoot. Over the course of the day, troops exchanged gifts of cigarettes, food, buttons, and hats. The Christmas truce also allowed both sides to finally bury their dead comrades, whose bodies had lain for weeks on no man's land, the ground between the opposing trenches. The phenomenon took different forms across the Western Front. One account mentions a British soldier having his hair cut by his pre-war German barber. Another talks of a pig roast. Several mentioned impromptu kickabouts with makeshift soccer balls, although, contrary to popular legend, it seems unlikely that there were any organized matches. The truce was widespread, but not universal. Evidence suggests that, in many places, firing continued. And in at least two, a truce was attempted, but soldiers attempting to fraternize were shot by opposing forces.
Jim?
Jim, don't do it!
And of course, it was only ever a truce, not peace. In some parts of the line, representatives of each side would meet in the middle, in no man's land. We shook hands, we wished each other Merry Christmas, and were soon conversing, as if we had known each other for years. We were in front of the wire entanglements and surrounded by Germans. Fritz and I in the center, talking, and Fritz occasionally translating to his friends what I was saying. We stood inside the circle like street corner orators. Soon most of our company, a company, hearing that I and some others had gone out, followed us. What a sight. Little groups of Germans and British extending almost the length of our front. Out of the darkness, we could hear laughter and see lighted matches. A German lighting a Scotchman's cigarette and vice versa. Exchanging cigarettes and souvenirs. Where they couldn't talk the language, they were making themselves understood by signs, and everyone seemed to be getting on nicely. Here we were, laughing and chatting to men whom only a few hours before we were trying to kill. Some of those who went out to meet the enemy in the middle of no man's land on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day negotiated a truce. We won't fire if you won't fire. Some ended the truce at midnight on Christmas night. Some extended it until New Year's Day. Many soldiers enjoyed meeting the unseen enemy and were surprised to discover that they were more alike than he had thought. They talked, shared pictures, exchanged items such as buttons for foodstuffs. An extreme example of the fraternization was a soccer game played in the middle of no man's land between the Bedfordshire Regiment and the Germans. A member of the Bedfordshire Regiment produced a ball, and the large group of soldiers played until the ball was deflated when it hit a barbed wire entanglement. This strange and unofficial truce lasted for several days, much to the dismay of the commanding officers. This amazing showing of Christmas cheer was never again repeated, and as World War I progressed, the story of Christmas 1914 at the front became something of a legend. Codename Polly01 is going to embed that video for you guys to share, and share it with your loved ones. Keep things in perspective. As you guys go out this week, remember the reason for the season. Christ our King was born. Have a very blessed Christmas and a happy new year. And we'll all come together again after the new year. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.